Let's go to Hebrews 10, verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. The promise doesn't always come when you want it straight away. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it involves waiting. But I'm here to tell you guys today that the promise still stands. The promise still stands. In year 10, my friend and I, Ben Caldwell, we went, we were supposed to raise money for this Cambodia trip. And what we did was we decided to ride 100 kilometers around Listerfield Lake. It worked out pretty good. I raised like over $2,000 just from my Asian aunties and uncles, mostly. But yeah, I raised a fair bit of money. And one thing I've learned about riding around in circles is that it can be incredibly frustrating. After I did the 100Ks, I didn't go back to Listerfield for like 2 months because I was just sick of it. And sometimes life can feel like that. Sometimes life can feel like going around in laps, going around in circles and getting nowhere. And it just leaves you frustrated and confused. And this was evident in a story that we see in the Old Testament. But let's say a word of prayer. God, I thank you that your Spirit is here. And I believe that there are some people here who are about to stop short of something great that you have implanted in their life. So give them the strength to keep walking and help this message to encourage them, help this message to inspire them. And I pray that you speak through me as well, God. You know I'm nothing without you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 6, let's go there. You guys know this story pretty well, I'm assuming. This is about the fall of Jericho, the fall of Jericho. Just to give a bit of context to this story, the Israelites have been walking around in the wilderness for 40 years. And the city of Jericho, it was known for being not necessarily a big city, but it was known for its walls. It was known for its high and strong walls. And it was thought that nothing could penetrate through these walls. So the Israelites, they approach Jericho, and they see the walls and like, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to break through this city? They've conquered all these other cities, and that's been pretty all right. But here they see Jericho, and they're like, what are we going to do? In Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, it says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. So the city was on a lockdown. The city was on lockdown. There was no way in, and there was no way out. Sometimes when there is shut down in your life, maybe it is not a sign of your inability to get in, but maybe it is a sign that the enemy can't keep you out. Because Jericho was scared of the Israelites, and that's why they locked down. They had seen how Jericho had conquered all these cities, and then they shut the gates because they're like, we don't want the Israelites to come in. So when there is adversity in your life, maybe it is a sign of the Spirit of God in you rather than the Spirit of God not in you, because there is power and therefore the devil is scared. Maybe it is a sign that the devil has become so desperate that he's throwing whatever he can to stop you. And often we view confrontation and adversity in our lives as something given from the devil. But often it's not always the case, because at the end of the day, it had to pass through the hands of God. And sometimes those adversary, the conflict that we have in our life, sometimes God lets us have that so that he can conquer through us. And then we know that it was him who did it and not us. Verse 2 says, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. I love how God gives a promise before an instruction, and we can hold on to that promise even in the waiting. And I love how God talks about a victory that hasn't happened yet in past tense. We serve a God who speaks in past tense about a battle that hasn't already been won. But what do you do when what God says doesn't add up to what you see? What do you do when God says you are not alone, but then you go home and you feel so alone? What do you do when God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and you just don't feel God's presence in your life? What happens when God says, I will do amazing things through you, but then you're struggling and you can't get that breakthrough that you want? I'm here to tell you that what God says is more powerful than what you see, because what you see is only something really small compared to the bigger picture that God has in mind. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are wider than our thoughts. Verses 3 to 5 say, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Isn't it crazy how God's command to the Israelites is to walk around the city? Because if you know anything about physics and how the laws of physics work, is if you, in order to get a wall down, you don't walk around a city. That doesn't work. All that leaves is footprints. But here God tells the Israelites to do what is downright ridiculous. And in order to be victorious, sometimes you have to be prepared to do what is downright ridiculous, such as walking around walls. And I can imagine the Israelites walking around Jericho and the people of Jericho just standing up on the walls and mocking the people of Israel. I remember that VeggieTales scene where the Israelites are walking around and then the people of Jericho are throwing slushies at them and mocking around them, singing like, keep walking. Yeah, it's so good. But it doesn't make sense. And it's funny how like they go home and they're like, what we need is more firepower. And then they build this mechanism that like is like a rocket. And then Josh is like, nah, I think we should trust God. And then it gets really deep there. But yeah, it's ridiculous, hey? It's ridiculous. And that's what it is. Living a ridiculous life with God involves a step-by-step faith in Him. Because the way faith works is not you stand here and you see the entire staircase before you. No, faith involves standing here and you see only the next step. Well, sometimes you don't even see that next step, but you take that next step of what you can see, because you can't see that whole picture, so you trust in God. I've learnt that I don't have all the answers, so I just have to trust the one who does, and that is Jesus. That is God. That is the way we live our life. Walking around walls, it makes no sense, and it gets you nowhere. Life can feel like walking around circles sometimes, and just when you think the problem is over, you end up in the same place again. You're just walking around in circles, and you just end up in that same place again. Walking around walls is also tiring and pretty exhausting as well. The longer a wall exists that is holding you back from where you want to be, the more tired you become. I don't know if you've experienced that in your life, like there's been a wall in your life and you've been trying to get the breakthrough that you want, but all it does is it just leaves you more tired. You go home, you lie down and you're like, God, I am so tired. I am so drained. This wall is just taking it out of me. But God is telling you to just keep walking. Just keep going. Dory has it right when she just says, keep swimming. Just keep swimming. And we need to do the same thing in our life too. We just need to keep on walking, because breakdown is the prerequisite for breakthrough. God is going to give that breakthrough in your life soon. It's just around the corner. Just wait. Wait expectantly, and God is going to come with the breakthrough at the perfect time. Are you willing to keep walking even when it seems like God isn't working? Because he is working. And what he is telling you today is that obedience is your responsibility and results are mine. When I've done ministry stuff, I often base my identity and how I feel on the results that I get. But sometimes, as you know, when you're doing ministry, that's not always the case. Sometimes you're in a place where you're not getting the results you want, and you just have to keep on going, and it just feels so mundane. But God is telling you today that the results are coming. You just leave that in my hands. You just be obedient to me. You just follow my will. You just step into the current of my grace, and I will give you the results eventually. Because the promise will come to pass. The promise will come to pass. Exercise. I used to do this thing called, I just started again. It's called calisthenics, where it's like body weight workout kind of thing. And one thing, if you guys know about exercise and trying to get gains and all that, is that the results don't come straight away. Like, you do like 30 sit-ups and you think you're going to get abs straight away. No, it doesn't work like that. It takes time. And I think I learned in PE that it takes like 6 weeks in order to actually see results happen. It takes about 6 weeks to see those gains. And that's the same in our life as well. We can't expect those results, the results happen straight away. It takes time. It takes a place where nothing is happening. And then all of a sudden, you see that breakthrough. The more you walk around walls, the more you wonder how their potency will fall, which places you to realize that when God brings the walls down, it was ultimately him that made them fall. Because I believe that if God brought the walls of Jericho down on that first day, the Israelites would have thought that it was them that brought the walls down and not him. But he allows them to walk around the walls seven times, and then seven times on that seventh day. And only then the walls fall down, because then the Israelites know that it was God who brought the walls down and not them. God waits for our longing to deepen, our expectancy to reach its full prominence. And then just at the right time, in his perfect timing, the walls, they come down. Verse 19 says, "But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." And what that shows me is that God doesn't want you to take credit for what he has gifted you with. Give the residue of your victory to God. Maybe you're at that point where the walls have fallen down and success is yours. But God is telling you, do not keep that to yourself. Do not take credit, because that was not you, that was me. That was me. I worked through you. It was not yourself. When you're in a place of humility where everything in your life is only Jesus, then it is likely that the promise is just around the corner. Because sometimes in that waiting, God wants to teach us something. Sometimes when we are waiting on God's request, he is building our character. So just keep walking. Just keep walking silently. And it's funny how God commands the Israelites and he says, keep silent as you keep walking around. Why? Because maybe he doesn't want them to talk each other out of what God has, what he has instilled upon them. He doesn't want them to talk each other out of that promise. Just hold on to it deep in your heart. Just keep walking silently. There is beauty in silence. There is sacredness in silence. So hold on to that. There are two ways to wait. You can wait passively or actively. And I like how God doesn't say to the Israelites, just sit down for 7 days, and then on that seventh day, you can just watch the walls fall down. No, he says, walk around the walls seven times. And what that shows me is that he wants you to wait actively and not passively. He wants you to wait expectantly. He doesn't want you to just sit and do nothing. No, you have to prepare as if the promise has already come, because the God we serve speaks in past tense. A passive person hopes something good will happen and is willing to sit around and wait till it does. However, after a short time, they give up. And they're like, I've waited and nothing's happened. A passive person just asks amiss and has no belief that what they prayed for will come to pass. They just put it out and like, God, maybe, if you want it, yep, that would be awesome. But then eventually they give up. An active person waits expectantly. He is hopeful, believing the answer is just around the corner. Every day he wakes up and expects to find that answer. His belief is not passive, he's passive. His heart is full of hope. Joyce Meyer talks about like how it is like a woman who is pregnant. She carries inside her the promise of a baby. And even though she can't see it, she knows it's there. The moment she learns of her pregnancy, she begins to plan for her baby's arrival. She starts collecting items she'll need and busily gets the nursery ready. She actively prepares for the arrival of the baby, because she knows the promise will be fulfilled. It's just a matter of time. She is expectant and she'll wait as long as it takes. She will wait as long as it takes. It is like that. We need to prepare as if the promise has already happened, because the God we serve speaks in past tense. So I want to encourage you guys, pray earnestly. Pray in desperation. Be bold with your prayers. And one day those walls will fall, and often not in the way that we think. And while we're waiting, we can't just wait for the walls to fall down for us, but we have to wait for the walls. We have to allow the walls to fall in us as well. Because sometimes before God allows the walls to fall down for us, he wants to change something in us. And David in Psalms 139 verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And that's what I love. Because before that, in the verse before, he was saying, God, send the enemies away from me. I don't want them in my life. But then he shifts to looking at his inner self. And maybe that's a shift of perspective that needs to happen in your life. Maybe before you expect the walls to fall down for you, you need to allow the walls to fall down in you. Because God wants to come into your life and he wants to take over. But he can only do that if you allow those walls to come in. The door that he knocks on has only a handle on the inside that you can open. Only you can open. So open that door. Allow God to come in. And allow him to change you, because that is what the waiting process is for. That is what the waiting process is for. It's funny how Jesus waited 30 years for 3 years of ministry. And what that shows me is that waiting is so important. God keeps you in a season of waiting and in a season of drought so that you can learn something. Focus on embracing the wait. Focus on embracing the now. And know that the results, they are in God's hands. Be encouraged by that. And I'm here to tell you as well that God is with you in the waiting. The Ark of the Covenant circles around the wall, and the Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of God's presence. God's presence is always with you when you're walking around circles, when things don't make any sense. Emmanuel, God with us, is with you in the waiting. Joshua means deliverer. Or Jeshua, which points to Jesus. Jesus is our guide. He is our leader who is leading us into that promised land. He is with us in that waiting. He is guiding us. His rod and his staff are comforting us. So trust him. He is with you. He is going to deliver you into the promised land. And I love verse 20. It says, so the people shouted when the priests blew their trumpet, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the walls fell down flat. That the walls fell down flat. Shout, because God has won the battle. He has won the battle in your life today. I want you to know that. Don't give up hope. Don't stop short of something that God has implanted in your life. car racing, like F1, they have this thing called the lap count. And every time you do one lap, then it says, all right, one lap, you've done two laps, and then you keep going. But wouldn't it be great if life had a lap count? Wouldn't it be great if life said, all right, just keep going, you're nearly there, you've only got three laps left, keep on going. No, it doesn't. I'm sorry to tell you. Life does not have a lap count. And that's why you need to trust in God. Isn't God such a great motivator, right? He's like, he doesn't get the Israelites to walk around once, and then slowly he moves like a couple of bricks. And then day two, he removes more bricks. No, he tells them to walk around 7 days and nothing falls. They see no results at all. Nothing. I don't know what lap you're on. You might be on lap one. You might be on lap three. You might be on lap four, five, or six. But do not stop on six. Six, as you good Adventists know, is the number of man. Seven is the number of God. It represents completeness. Do not stop short of what God has called you to. Do not stop on six. Seven is just around the corner. And you're not going to know what lap you're on. You're not going to know what lap you're on. But just keep on walking and just trust in God. And then the walls will fall down all at once and you'll be like, thank you, Jesus, so much. That was you. I know that was you, because if the walls fell down little by little, I would have thought that was me. But since they fell down all at once, when I had no way else, I knew that was you. I know that was you. God is more powerful than the walls that humans build. When the promise still stands, then the walls will fall. There's a song that I like. It's called Do It Again, and pretty much represents what this message is about. Starts off by saying, walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me. You have never failed me. And then the chorus says, the promise still stands. The promise still stands. And then the bridge says, I see you move. You move mountains. God is going to move mountains in your life today. From this day forward, he is going to move mountains in your life. Trust him, the promise still stands. And those walls in your life, when turned sideways, they become bridges that enter, that you can enter into, that you can cross over and enter into God's grace, and you can see breakthrough in your life. Thank you.